This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews. We've got another fantastic guest to hear from in the second half of the show, and we'll be doing that shortly. I just want to catch up with some tweets that we've had in from the first part of the show. Excuse me. Jules has tweeted in saying, great Telecoms World implementation of a COVID-19 helpline for the NHS. What a fantastic and knowledgeable guest Keith was. He really knows his telecom stuff. Absolutely. Thank you, Jules. Tracy Ferguson has said likewise, really. Great interview with Keith from Telecoms World. And I laughed out loud at his final comment following up on your broadband requirements, Paul. Oh, he will, Tracy. In Tune PR, Darren, great to hear Jules back and in form. The interview with Keith Bird of Telecoms World was in danger of becoming the home decor half hour for a while. I know, Darren. What can you do with her? She's terrible. So do keep your tweets coming. We do want to hear from you. I've got quite a few emails to read. Obviously, we're going to cover the Federation of Small Business news later on in the show. But right now, let's hear from Jan Caval, author, speaker and writer, and businesswoman extraordinaire. Jules and I caught up with her yesterday. So let's hear what she had to say.
It's flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Sorry about that. That didn't work out too well. Let me have another go at putting that back in. Where's it gone? There it is. Let's try again. Sorry about that.
It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time, author, writer, speaker and businesswoman, Jan Caval. Good morning, Jan. How are you?
Good morning, Paul. I am fine. Thank you very much. Very happy to be here with you both.
That's fantastic. It's lovely to see you and to speak to you. Why don't we kick off by you telling us a little bit about your history, Jan. I know that you've been a very successful businesswoman in the past and you've got an interesting backstory. So let's start with that and then we'll go from there.
Okay. I have run businesses for a fearsomely long time.
Right.
By my age, it tends to happen that way, but I did start very young.
Yeah.
In my defense. And I just loved working for myself. I hated working for other people in common with so many entrepreneurs.
Mm.
So I would do all sorts of things in the way of self-employment and then that graduated to small businesses with other people, but nothing very serious.
Mm.
And when I later on, when I found myself as a single mum with two small kids and panicking badly on an income point of view, that is, I wasn't panicked by the kids, but definitely lack of money was yeah. pretty crucial.
Just buying the trainers is enough for most parents.
Thank goodness trainers weren't quite as badly fashionable. I mean, they were still bad in that day, but no,
in my day,
beat your head at the mention of trainers, I think.
in my day, Jan, it was plimsolls.
Yeah, mine too.
Yes, well, mine too. Yeah, mine too. little, and they were, didn't even have laces, did they?
No, little bits of elastic over the top.
Yeah, little slip-ons.
Yeah.
Oh goodness! No, I was advanced. I had laces.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can tie laces. That's good.
But it's interesting what you said, though, Jan. When you were talking about your early start in this, you implied that you did lots of things on a self-employed basis and different bits and pieces. And that's really interesting because I think most of us entrepreneurs did exactly the same. And it's interesting that there's a whole infrastructure now about what they call portfolio careers.
Yes.
Most of us actually did that years ago. when it didn't have a name.
Yeah, it's got so smart now, hasn't it?
Yeah. Although, having said that, Professor Charles Handy actually wrote a book in 1971 called The Shamrock Organization, in which a lot of it was about people doing portfolio careers and people wow. running portfolio companies. And it was quite avant-garde when he first wrote it, and everybody went, really? But he's been absolutely right. And you know, now more than ever, I think you're right. But, you know, people do have portfolio careers and they do lots of different things. It was just interesting that you identified that as a way that you started, because I did exactly the same. I think Jules did the same. Well, Jules is all over.
I left at 14 and a half, but I believe at 14 and a half, I was stacking shelves at Tesco while I was at school on a Thursday and a Friday night. And I really loved it, funny enough. What I loved was going to the staff canteen, you know, and the food was really cheap. So, you know, it was very exciting. You feel grown up, you know. But yeah, I've done lots of stuff.
Well, I think, you know, I think it's a great way to be, actually. I mean, I think there's a real economic necessity for it now.
Yeah.
But I think in general, actually, it's got huge advantages. I mean, I learned all sorts of things from doing it, which have stood me in very good stead running proper business since. And just in life in general, you know, even the odd moment where I had to get a job. Horrible thing.
Yeah.
You know,
I wanted to ask you, Jan, right at the beginning, you said that, you know, like most entrepreneurs, you really dislike working for other people. Tell me a couple of the reasons why.
Well, I had a very bad tangle with it at first. I went to a secretarial school, couldn't stand it, and left because it wasn't what I wanted to do after about 3 weeks.
And again, that was very much something of our generation. I think
the job that we were geared to was
for me, it was being a GPO telephonist. That's what all my teachers told me I should do.
Yeah. I remember doing the old temp GPO, sticking those plugs into switchboard wires. Yes. Yeah. Remember that one? Gosh, I've forgotten
this.
I once said to someone, oh, you must have been a telex operator. And the entire audience went, oh, what?
Yes, I've forgotten telexes too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's lovely to talk to somebody who talks this outdated stuff.
Don't get Paul and I onto the old days, because
she'll start on the wooden tops and Andy Pandy any minute.
The secretarial college didn't work.
Secretarial college was not for me. I think it was sort of all 3 weeks. So I quickly went and did a speed writing course instead. And then, of course, applied for jobs as a secretary and couldn't understand why I wasn't very good at them. So, you know, it wasn't the best. It wasn't the best introduction, you know, getting the boot from my first job, which was for a PR company. But even that taught me a huge amount. I mean, they were a really good PR company, and I can't remember how long I lasted, not that long. But I was working on the New Zealand lamb account, that much I do remember. Yeah. Very exciting. Getting recipes into Women's Own and things.
Wow.
But, you know, it gave me an understanding of public relations and media and stuff, which has stood me in huge good stead since.
Of course.
I've always done my own as a result, you know.
Running your own business, yeah.
Absolutely.
Again, it's interesting, Jan, what you said there in terms of learning experiences by doing different things.
Yeah.
Because as a business owner and an entrepreneur, you kind of end up doing stuff that you didn't, you know, expect to do or were trained to do, because you have to do everything. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's a huge amount of learning, you know, you might be a plumbing business, but you've got to learn about VAT returns, and you've got to learn about staff payroll and workplace pensions and GDPR and all kinds of other regulatory stuff. As well as marketing and you know, cash flow management. So there's a whole range of skills as a business owner that you need to develop.
That's absolutely right, and it must be a challenge for us all. But for somebody who hasn't worked in a variety of things, I mean, the challenge must be absolutely mind-boggling, because you know, just talk about overwhelm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah.
A lot of plumbers that I know, small businesses have, you know, their wives send out the invoices and things like that. And I'm always trying to help them and say, you know, why don't you just record when you go around to price a job, record it and get it typed up with a virtual PA or whatever. But they always say by the time they've done it all, they might as well have just done it themselves. It's a toughie.
I think you're right there, Jules. I mean, it's basically there's technology that can help you with all that stuff now. But the problem is, again, people don't have the experience of the technology and they're a bit scared of it. And, you know, as we've seen in the last few weeks, technology can get out of control as well, because once you hand it over to another company, they can do what they like with you. They can ban you. They can stop, you know, and that's incredibly worrying, but that's a different issue right now. I want to come back to Jan and Jan's business journey.
Jan's business journey from being vaguely occasionally employed and more usually self-employed. As I say, went to marriage again, you know, but like Jules was saying, it was very much our generation. We were brought up to be a secretary and then get married. One of the reasons I was a secretary was to meet suitable young men, I think.
Yes, and then be a homemaker.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Jules did that a lot. Jules had a portfolio career of that. Marrying
people. I united the nations, Jan. That's another story. Show.
Please tell me one day. I'm limited.
So I want to kind of move on to a point where you built a substantial business.
I built a substantial business when I had the kids and I was on my own, because it was the only thing I could do as far as I was concerned. I was on income support and absolutely back against the wall. And so I thought, right, pull a finger out. You know, I've got to do more for these children and I want a future for them, so I've got to build something. And I'd had experience from my portfolio career. I must call it that in future. It sounds so much smarter than just being unemployable. But I'd got plenty of sales experience, telephone sales in particular. So that seemed to me the answer, was buying something in and flogging it out again on the phone so that I could be at home with the kids. And I'd been in furniture a bit with my ex-husband, so furniture I settled on with very little knowledge of, you know, we say we haven't got much knowledge of all the things we need to know in small businesses, but it's usually ideal if you actually know the centre of what you're doing. But selling I knew, and I got a tatty leaflet made up with the last of the credit on my credit card. And off I went, and very shakily at first, no surprise there, I began to make a little bit of sales and grew it slowly. And from that, because of difficulties getting supply, as the thing actually did take off over a number of years, I slowly grew it as added bits of manufacturing, literally starting with a friend with a spray gun in another friend's barn. And adding bits on from there. And it was a very exciting, privileged time, because I was able to grow this thing because the selling took off more than anything. And I hit a very good time in the market for it, because the interior design market was really booming. And so it did take off and was extremely successful. Thank you for everything on that for about 10 years. And, you know, all the stuff that goes with it, or, you know, all the opportunities. I had some amazing experiences as an entrepreneur. And then, you know, we reached the stage of needing to scale it more or slip back, because you can't stay still, as you know, in business. And at the same time, my son had been in business, left the business to go abroad, and that sort of left me a little bit unsure of where I was going, but I still thought it was a good idea to build it.
So your son had been helping you in the business.
He had, yeah. Okay. He'd got the sales bug, same as me. He still works in sales, oddly enough. So I take full credit for that, obviously. But he wants to carve his own way in life, and rightly too. I'm not terribly pro. I think it's a, well, no, that's unfair. It works for some people, but I think it's a really tough road to hoe to go into a parental business. Mm-hmm. You know, in many ways, it's better to launch your own thing, and it certainly was for him. It was making him very miserable working for me.
I think Prince Charles is going to have a tough time, put it that way.
Yes, yes, not wrong there. I think you're already danced, really.
So I think what you were coming towards there, Jan, is you've built a fairly substantial business up to a point, and now you need to go to the next level.
I did, and, you know, by that time, I just thought it was, you know, what you did was do more of the same. Mm. And it didn't work very well. And so I finally went and got some business courses under my belt and learned a bit more about business, and gradually realized all the things that were wrong with the structure if one wanted to scale it.
Yeah.
But I kept on trying to go back and restructure the thing and restaff the thing. But actually, if it's built on shaky foundations, well, maybe somebody could do it, but you literally have to take the house down and rebuild. And I didn't have, by that time, the energy to do it. So I just burnt out in the end. Couldn't do it. But it fascinated me as to why it should be so hard. Why was it so different? Mm. You know, just, you know, if you got to, say, you know, sort of two mil plus, which I had, you know, why wasn't it easy to go to 3 mil?
Yeah. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? And I think you've hit the nail on the head, though, Jan, that almost everybody struggles with that next step. You know, same for me in my businesses. I've got 9 businesses. I've built lots of businesses up to a certain point, but going mega is really difficult. That, you know, you can make small incremental steps. You know, you can generate revenues of 100,000, 300,000, 800,000, 1 million, 1.5 million, and all by doing more of the same thing.
Yeah.
And then you get to a point where it just doesn't work anymore.
No, exactly. And that's precisely what I discovered. I mean, I'm so stubborn. I kept going for far too long, you know, refuse to recognize that I couldn't do it. But, you know, it just wasn't going to happen. Mm. But it did. It riveted me. And I, like I said, I'd learned a lot by that time of how it should be done. Mm. So while my original plan was to sort of retire and put my feet up, gradually I'd been writing anyway. I'd been writing for Real Business Online and contributing to them on a fairly regular basis and loving it. And so when I had time on my hands, I thought, why not find out more about what, you know, what on earth this problem is, you know, that everybody gets stuck with. Is it just me? Is it lots of other people? Why is it? All these things. And see if I could put together a book that would help people get past that problem.
Right.
And which is what I've done.
Fantastic. And without giving the book away in too much detail, because obviously we want everybody to buy it and read it, what's the most salient point that you came across as the blocker for people going that next step?
As the blocker, I mean, it's difficult to narrow it to any one. I mean, I'd like to sort of name about 3 or 4, but I think people probably comes out number one.
Yeah,
because if you haven't got the right people, and you may well not have done, because often the people you've grown the business with to the sort of that stage we're talking about, maybe around 1.5, 2, are not people who want to go grow any bigger or have the capability of growing any bigger. And then, you know, and you keep on thinking it should be them because they're the people I started it with.
Yeah.
You know, so, or you have to go hunting at that late date when you're already involved in trying to scale for the right people to come in. Mm. You know, I think if you don't plan in advance, the people can be just a no-no to growth.
Yeah. I mean, and I think what you just said also applies to the owner and entrepreneur as well.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us run businesses because we know the business we're in. Yeah. If we run a technical business, it's because we're techies. Or if we run a plumbing business, it's because we're plumbers or whatever. But when you start to get to a certain scale, those skills are not relevant any longer. You've got people to do that. What you need is a whole heap of different skills.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a point, another point I'd make. And I think you don't realize, you know, people talk about working on the business, not in the business.
Yeah.
And, you know, we assume that's all the fancy stuff like sort of a bit mergers and acquisitions or planning or whatever. Mm. But part of it, it should be self-development. And I think it's quite hard for the average entrepreneur to say, I'm worth the time to spend on me to the team.
Yep.
Because it just sort of feels uncomfortable saying, you know, actually I'm so important that to this business that I've got to take time off and learn what I'm doing. It doesn't sound right.
Yep.
but it is. It's when it
it's
comes
not
down
very,
to it,
it's not
do.
Very British, is it?
Really? No, it's terribly un-British. Absolutely. Got it in one, Jules.
Okay.
Are there any businesses that, you know, when you were writing, Jan, that you admired and sort of looked at?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, in the process of writing, I thought, because having not succeeded myself, and while I know so many of the pitfalls with great intimacy, I thought I'd really better get some help from people who've been a lot more successful at doing it than me. And, you know, so I assembled this sort of cast, if you like, of 30 entrepreneurs who helped with the book and contributed their advice to put together a sort of whole guide to doing it. And I honestly don't know. People say, well, you know, which one's your favorite? It's very difficult to pick out any of them. You know, I feel so protective, so admiring, so blown away by them in so many different ways. They're just some incredible people that I was so privileged to meet. Some I knew already, and some I met for the first time right across the globe. People from Australia, people in the US, and the majority of people, obviously, from the UK.
Fantastic. Jan, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Give us a shout out for the title of your book.
It's called Scale for Success.
Scale for Success. And where can we get the book?
You can get it from Bloomsbury, who are very kindly publishing it, or there are other links on my website. And you can obviously go to Amazon as well, which is nice and simple.
Fantastic.
It's available for pre-order now.
Oh, so as they say, all brilliant. Good bookshops and online.
That's the one.
Yeah. Give us a shout for your website.
It's www.jancavelle.co.uk.
Fantastic. Jan, thank you so much for joining us. A fascinating journey. I'm looking forward to reading the book because I'm going to read the book. I suggest everybody else does too. For the moment, thank you so much for being on the Business Bunker Show, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you very much indeed, both of you. Pleasure.
And we'll have another discussion later about GPO and women and things that we're told to do and tell us. Bye, Jan.
Bye.
Right. So that was Jan Cavelle. It was lovely to hear from her.
Very interesting and very inspiring. And I love hearing her story of how she struggled with young children and trying to put a roof over their head.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really good.
Cool. So what have you been up to?
Well, the highlight of my week, Paul Andrews, in lockdown, was taking a kebab round to my mum's.
Oh, lovely.
And what, for listeners who don't know, Ruth, my mum, is 90.
Right. What did she have? Did she have Donna salad chili sauce?
Yeah, and the garlic sauce, and we had the chicken. We had a platter of meat, actually.
Oh, did you?
And it was the three of us, of course, the new husband, my mum, and us. And we opened a bottle of Aldi champagne. Other
right.
champagnes are available, but I like the Aldi one. It doesn't give me a hangover because it's organic. And champagne and a kebab. I mean, you know, wild time.
Why not? Yeah.
And that was the highlight of my social life. A lot of walking.
Right.
And as listeners know, I've got a metal knee, so you know, hobbling around, doing far too much walking. I reckon there's going to be a lot of stiff joints by the end of this lockdown, because people are just walking. Yeah, just walking.
Well, see, I'm the other way. Before lockdown really started, I was on a mega diet and I lost loads of weight. And of course, and now I just put it all back on. I just sit here all day eating biscuits and drinking
tea. Well, because this is the thing. Do you know what? When I was a mum at home, I was quite tubby. And as you know, I've got a thyroid problem. So, you know, thyroid, low thyroid, you find it very hard to lose weight anyway. But if you look around at mums, typically, they are usually a little bit plumper because they're at home all the time and, you know, and they're cooking the fish fingers and then they nibble a few leftovers.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when you go out to work and you have to squeeze into a little suit, then you tend to think more about what you're eating. Yeah. I'm wearing elasticated trousers most of the time now and little baggy things.
It's so, like my Amanda, who runs a livery stable, she does physically hard, demanding labour. Like 12, 14 hours a day.
So she can eat whatever she wants.
There's more meat on a butcher's pencil. There really is. I keep saying to her, you've got to put some meat on. And she's going, I'm eating as much as I can.
Yeah, exactly, because it's physical.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we are locked in and we are surrounded by food and it is hard. And also, you know, you sort of think, I need a little perk. So it is very, very tough. What I'm looking for, if listeners are listening and would like to help, for Zoom team building, I need some team building ideas for teams that I work with, sort of incentives that don't cost companies too much money.
But do you mean to do online?
For fun. Okay. Sort of incentives. Maybe there's a little prize, but not too expensive. Maybe they all put a fiver in. I don't know. But I'm looking for games and incentives and fun things. We had one of my groups I work with. We had Tom Kerridge, for example, taught them how to cook some stuff, which was quite nice on Zoom. Right. So if any of you listening have got any incentives that you do with your teams for Zoom, that would be good.
Cool. I'll tell you what, Jules, why don't you read us an email?
I will. Talking of interesting things, we have Gemma Oliver, and she says, with over 12 years experience specialising in all things PA and admin, Gemma Oliver is here to help you effectively manage your time and get things done. By trusting Gemma with your work life, she promises that you'll feel less stressed, have more time to focus on running your business and meeting key objectives. This reminds me of Jan Cavell interview earlier. It's what we all need as a PA. There's this little sample of what Gemma specialises in, and she specialises in, as I've said, PA and admin support. Also, complete diary and email management. That's something I could do with Paul Andrews. I've got, I think, 62,000 in my inbox at the moment. Mostly flagged, to go back. Inbox overhaul and cleanup, definitely. High-level minute-taking, LinkedIn and Twitter account management. So for more information about Gemma Oliver, you can go to yourvpa.co.uk and remember that she's here for you. So that sounds really interesting. Well done, Gemma.
Yep.
There's also a webinar which is on Friday, this Friday, the 22nd of January, for those of us who know the dates, those of us locked down, who know what day it is. It's at 10 a.m. and it's for employers. On how to conduct redundancies. And I know, sadly, a lot of my friends have been having to make their staff redundant, which was really awful, and which we said would happen around this time. So Gemma will discuss on this webinar on Friday, 22nd of January, the alternatives to redundancy, reasons for redundancy, legal procedures, how to choose a selection process, how to conduct a redundancy consultation, minimum time limits for those making multiple redundancies, and how to calculate redundancy payments. Also, common mistakes that employers make during redundancies. Delegates will also be provided with template redundancy letters. Now, tickets are £50 plus VAT, and you can book and you and booking fee for each, so that £50 plus VAT and booking fee. And you can book these by going to www.eventbrite.co.uk/e/making-redundancies-t. Existing clients, Gemma says, will be on a monthly retain packages and they can attend for free. And if you want to email them to find out more, you can go to info@orchardemploymentlaw.co.uk. Please remember that we are at the end of the phone and it's little telephone here, so get your pen, 01634 564 136. And they say if you need any advice or assistance, email or phone, they're happy to chat. orchardemploymentlaw.co.uk. And that's love from the team, Gemma, Lucy and Matt.
Fabulous. Two kisses. Fabulous. Have you got glasses?
Yeah, I have.
Have you thought about wearing them?
Did you see me squinting?
I noticed you squinting at that all the way through. And I thought, why don't you just wear your glasses?
I know. My mother tells me off all the time. She says, you're squinting. You're going to get terrible lines. Yeah. It's because it's on my second screen. And because I've got your lovely face on that screen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I could just move it over.
You could. Know, well, that would spoil the fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and then I won't see you, see?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I wouldn't squint. Funny you notice that. So charities are invited to apply for free market. These are my special screen glasses. Right. They're not reading glasses.
Right.
Charities invited to apply for free marketing support. And this year has been exceptionally tough. So marketeers at Story 22 want to offer two charities the chance to participate in a Mastering Your Marketing program, which is worth 15,000 smackaroonies. So contact Sonia Whittam. She's the managing director of Kent-based full-service marketing agency, Story 22. And she says you can go to story22.co.uk and they will work closely with the winning charities to develop an effective marketing and communications strategy. And they'll identify, engage and grow their online audiences and build a new and engaging website to position them for future success. And they'll tailor the program to each charity's individual needs so they can maximize the opportunity on offer. So that's story22.co.uk. And last but not least, of course, it's the fabulous Marsh Networking Online, which is on Wednesday, which is manana. And that is at 10:30 a.m., 20th of January, in the Zoom room. And you can go to Terry Botfield, who will see you at the meeting. It's three W's, tinyurl.com/y615.
Don't worry about that.
Is it on your website?
It's on my website. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Marsh, you can find all the links there to book your place for Wednesday's, tomorrow's
manana
online.
And the 10-minute speaker, Paul Andrews, is Julie Murray. And she's the resident hypnotherapist.
Brilliant. Really good to talk to you and to catch up. What you got planned for the rest of this week?
Well, I'm doing my Scoff-Quaff manana. Mm. I'm doing a little preview of it and a pre-record for obvious reasons. So I'm looking forward to that. I've got a lovely guest from Belgium coming on who has a sourdough library.
Fantastic. Well, we'll look forward to hearing that. For the moment, Jules, thank you very
much. Lots of walking, of course.
We'll join you again soon sometime. Take care.
Bye.
Bye now.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lough Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good stuff. It was great to hear from Jan Cavell about scaling up your business and her new book about that subject. Really interesting how businesses do get stuck in that twilight zone between being successful as a small business and moving into being a medium and larger business. So do read her book. It's certainly going to be worth reading and understanding what the roadblocks are to growing your business to that extent. And it was good to catch up with her and hear her story and hear about what she had to say. And likewise, it was good to catch up with Jules briefly and find out about her eyesight, her kebabs, her curtains and everything else, which is always useful. So thank you for that. We got a few more things to cover on the show. I want to tell you a couple of things. Oh, I've got some tweets. Let's read a couple of the tweets first. I've had a tweet from Athel Bray, and they say, love the Business Bunker on a Tuesday. It's another chance to catch up on local business news and interviews while getting the ironing done. And there's a new listener this week, which is Jaffa the dog. So if I'd have known you were doing, I'd take it it's Keith that's doing the ironing. If I knew that you were doing the ironing, Keith, I would have popped over a few shirts for you to do. But it's interesting that you should tweet, because Athelbrey tweeted earlier about the webinar they're holding with Andy Styles on Brexit and GDPR. And I've just got a report in from the European Security Media Group, and it's a report on GDPR, and it says since the implementation of GDPR in the EU, the fines have now reached 272 million euros. So that's breaches of GDPR regulations have now netted the EU 272 million euros. That's a lot of dosh. Athel Bray's webinar is probably highly desirable right now to make sure you're not caught in that and to understand better GDPR and the impact of Brexit. So do check that out. Follow Athel Bray on the Twitter. ATHELBRAELTD is their Twitter handle, Athel Bray Limited. I've had some tweets from Ibiza Fitness Food, and they're saying, having a great show. And then, this is what they've done to me. This is the kind of thing that people do to me. They've showed me a picture of their Nutella and Biscoff donuts, the ultimate treat day snack or post-workout hit. And they say, come on, Vanilla Web, we know you want one on the Business Bunker. We deliver in the UK and Ibiza. Yeah, they look delicious. They really do. I'm going to talk to you guys about your food and your power snacks soon. I missed this one earlier. Tracy Ferguson was saying it was great cheesy tunage that I picked in the first half of the show. The amazing Blondie. Absolutely. Love a bit of Blondie. What else have we got? I think I've read those. If you've sent me a tweet and I haven't read it, you're going to have to retweet it, because I think I've read most. Oh, hold on. There's 12 more there. Oh, Jules has just tweeted, I wore my glasses this morning. No squinting. I should think so. They suit you. It's fine. Tracy Ferguson has said about the interview with Jan Cavell, great interview, fabulous and inspiring story. Absolutely. What else we got? Jules has... has tweeted us a montage of interior designs for those that are due to come on Zoom in the next few weeks. Tracy's also said, love the interview with Jan Cavell. What a great outlook she has. Back against the wall times often create the biggest opportunities for those people who are open to them. Absolutely. Yeah, Jan Paul described himself as unemployable too. Having a portfolio career sounds much more positive. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Actually, talking about portfolio careers, a friend of mine is doing workshops on them, and I've got some info about that here somewhere. Hold on a second. Let me dig it out. Where's that gone? Bear with me one second. Ah, here he is. This is from Ben Legg. Ben says, January is the time for career reflection. If you know of any smart, driven, mid-career professionals seeking career inspiration, please do let them know about my weekly portfolio career workshop. You can find out about it at the website portfolio-collective.com/portfolio-career-workshop. That's portfolio-collective.com /portfolio career workshop. Portfolio careers are effectively finding multiple ways to monetize your skills, knowledge and passions, as opposed to having just one job. Our 60-minute free workshop helps people understand what portfolio careers are, why they are booming, and what it takes to succeed. Since lockdown began, we've helped hundreds of professionals launch successful portfolio careers. In 2021, we want to make that thousands. And that's from Ben Legg. Ben's got a huge amount of experience in a number of high-brand organizations. He now runs his own business, and he is a portfolio worker. So it's a fantastic workshop. You can do that. It's a 60-minute workshop that will tell you all about portfolio careers. But it's a great way of adding all your talents together and making them a good way for you to make a healthy income. So check that out. Right, I think it's probably time now for
the Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup, offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
It's time to bring you some news of events and other things from the Federation of Small Business. If I don't give a web link on any of these, it's because I'm going to give the one web link out for all of them at the end of the piece. Those that are in a different place, I'll give the web link as we go through. Here is just a general piece of information that I was sent actually by Gerard Shakamavisius, and I just thought it was interesting and worth reading. It said, towards the end of 2020, a Federation of Small Business policy document study of more than 4,000 small businesses found that 62% were subject to late or frozen payments due to COVID-19. And we expect that number may be even higher now. So basically, I guess what's happening is people aren't working, so they can't pay their bills. People are working from home and they don't have access to their payment systems. I suspect that a number of people are using it as an excuse for managing their cash flow too. What we all need to bear in mind is the domino effect of that. If you don't pay your suppliers, your suppliers can't pay their suppliers, can't pay their suppliers, and so on. And the domino effect of that has quite serious ramifications on all of us. So although it's a pain, I think it's incumbent on all of us to try and pay our bills as soon as we can, especially to other smaller businesses. So that's an interesting phenomena happening there as part of COVID. There's a webinar. The UK has left the EU-UK transition and business webinar. And this is taking place on Thursday, the 28th of January, 11:30 to 12:30. So it's the UK transition and business webinar, Thursday, the 28th of January at 11:30. There's also an FSB webinar, creating a self-managing company, on Wednesday, the 3rd of February at 10 to 11 a.m. How to get control of your cash in 2021. Hear from accounting experts as well as a manufacturing business owner who's had quite the journey through 2020 about how best to get control of your cash in 2021. And that's kind of in line with the FSB policy report I just mentioned. It's about managing your cash, managing your resources effectively. That event is taking place on the 21st of January. That will be Thursday. And it's 12 noon till 1 p.m. So that's how to get control of your cash in 2021. There's an FSB Maidstone virtual networking event on the 27th of January at 4 p.m. Join Peter Searle for relaxed networking with like-minded business owners. Everyone is welcome. There's a Women in Business brunch on Thursday, the 28th of January, 9:30 to 10:30. Join us for virtual networking hosted by FSB Folkestone area host Wendy Flanagan of The Holistic Home. You can promote your business and meet fellow entrepreneurs in breakout rooms. There's also a business bootcamp webinar, Reboot 2021, Monday the 25th of January, 9:30 to 1. The event is designed to benefit entrepreneurs, the self-employed and small businesses, and that's across the UK, that's nationally. And then moving into February, Oh, no, there's one more in January, sorry. There's the 7 Secrets to Increasing Profitability on Wednesday, the 27th of January at 10:30. The FSB has partnered with UK Business Mentoring to bring you this engaging, thought-provoking, action-based webinar to help businesses maximise their profits. And then moving into February, there's the FSB Women in Business Brunch, Tuesday the 9th of February at 11 a.m. Join us for virtual networking hosted by FSB North Kent area host Sue Hainsby of Carlene Lettings. Promote your business and meet fellow entrepreneurs in breakout rooms. Now, all of those events, all of those workshops, webinars and everything can all be found and booked through one link, which is kentbusinessradio.co.uk /FSB. So all of those and any future events can all be found at kentbusinessradio.co.uk /FSB. Now, the FSB also have launched this. You're not alone. Looking after our mental health and well-being is important. We have a free to download guide on looking after your mental health, and we also have the FSB Care Hub, which goes into much greater depth. So you can download a report or you can use the Care Hub. You can do both, and you can find out about that support by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk /FSB-care. So that's kentbusinessradio.co.uk /FSB-care. So do check out all of those FSB events and webinars and workshops. There's fantastic information there. They can all be found on the Kent Business Radio website. So do have a look at that. Check it out. I've still got tweets coming in all over the place here, and I'm trying to keep up with them all. Jules is on a roll now. What going on about her glasses? Apparently, she doesn't need them for reading. She only needs them for looking at me on a screen, apparently, or something. I don't know. I lost the plot. What else have we got? I did see another tweet from Affelbray. Zinat Nourani says, "You crack me up, Paul." Yeah, sorry, I have that effect on people. Sorry about that. I saw another one. It was about escape rooms, and I can't see it now. Where has it gone? Can't find it at the moment. I had it just now. Don't know where that's gone. I'll try and find it in a second. Okay. Golding Homes, the social housing company in Maidstone and Mid Kent. They say, "Do you know of any organisations who have been supporting people during lockdown? Please tag them on their Twitter handle, which is @GoldingHomes. Please tag them. We want to continue to help communities affected by COVID-19, and we're providing funding from our community chest to support this." So basically, if you're running an organisation that's supporting people during lockdown and you'd like some help, then Golding Homes are prepared to take a look at that. And the way to do that is to interact with them on Twitter via their Golding Homes Twitter handle, or you can check out their website, which is www.goldinghomes.org.uk. That's goldinghomes.org.uk, and they've got a community chest that may be able to help your organisation supporting other people during COVID lockdown. Right. Push to get you to listen to the Business Diaries podcast, please. Business Diaries podcast, business storytelling that uncovers the stories about the personal journeys of business owners, often funny, sometimes sad, intriguing, but always entertaining. You can follow them by going to thebusinessdiaries.podbean.com. I think there's 12 there now, and as each new one is added, you can go there. So just follow them, and you'll be notified of each new one as it comes in. thebusinessdiaries.podbean.com is certainly worth a look at. I suddenly got a little flurry of tweets again. Jules has been on. "I staved off wearing glasses, had great eyesight luckily, but now I do need them for reading a screen as Vanilla Web spotted." Yeah, well, you were squinting, love, and that's what the problem was there. And I could see you squinting. What else we got? Okay. No, I don't think any of that's relevant. If you have tweeted me, as I said, and I haven't read it out, do tweet it again, because I'm struggling to find them all, because there's quite a few. What else have we got here? So, applications are open for the Kent and Medway small business to kickstart young people's employment. The FSB has teamed up with Adecco Working Ventures to help small firms access government kickstart scheme. The FSB urges small employers to apply now to create kickstart roles from January and tackle looming rise in young people's unemployment. To tackle increasing numbers of young people aged 16 to 24 struggling to find work and on universal credit, the Federation of Small Business has announced a new partnership with Adecco Working Ventures. Together they will form a new national gateway and intermediary partner for the UK government's Kickstarter scheme, which covers England, Scotland and Wales. The FSB will also be delivering a regional programme of webinars and other resources to encourage, inspire and help small businesses to get involved to make the most of the new scheme. Alongside local authorities, business organisations and the voluntary sector, the FSB is also calling for a diversity of intermediary providers at local level. This way, any small business wishing to create one or two roles will have a choice of good quality providers to deliver the important wraparound support services that these young people are going to need. Small firms are ready to step up and contribute jobs for our young people whose livelihoods are now threatened by COVID-19. The UK unemployment rate has risen to its highest level for 2 years, with official figures showing those aged 16 to 24 suffering the biggest drop in employment compared with other age groups. The Kickstart scheme was announced as part of the Chancellor Exchequer's plan for jobs, with the aim of helping 250,000 16 to 24 year olds on universal credit into work placement. If you want to find out more about the Kickstart scheme, you can register and find out more by going to fsb.org.uk/kickstart. That's fsb.org.uk/kickstart. Okay. I've just had a tweet from Bev and Tony, the lovely folks at Chips and Dinks. Do give Chips and Dinks a follow on the Twitter. They are fantastic. They're doing some really great stuff, recycling and upcycling and reusing different stuff and making stuff out of wood and making cabinets. Follow them on their Twitter handle. They've got some fantastic stuff they're doing and making some brilliant things. And they started off making things for their grandchildren and stuff, and then they've just kind of gone from there making cabinets out of old orange boxes and all kinds of things. Give them a follow, Chips and Dinks. They're doing a brilliant job of reusing, upcycling and recycling things. Okay, we're almost at the end of the show, and I just want to make sure I'm going to get in everything I need to get in. I did mention this earlier, but we have a new show. It was the first one last week, and they're back on air this week, which is Zeenat Narani presenting the Mindset Matters show on Friday mornings at 11 o'clock. She's got a great lineup of guests again this week, so do check out that. And then during February, we've got three more shows starting here on Channel Radio. We've got the Marketing and Learning and Development show with Steve Hemsley, and that's going to be on a Wednesday. The Right Mind show with Karen Stanley, also on a Wednesday. And Trust the Social Media show with Zoe Cairns, also on a Wednesday. So Wednesday's going to be pretty busy. We're going to have three new shows on a Wednesday, one on a Friday, all at different times, obviously. But check them out. As they come online, we'll tell you the times and how to find them. But it's all on channelradio.co.uk/2. Right. Just before we go, I mentioned this last week, and I want to mention it again because they really do deserve it. This is a request to financially help the Sound of Spitfire to continue to deliver amazing shows via internet radio. This is the Sound of Spitfire's journey. Spitfire Radio originally served Southampton, Christchurch and the New Forest. In December 2017, the station closed. In January 2018, the station ownership was transferred and relocated to Spalding in South Lincolnshire. Officially relaunched as Sound of Spitfire on the 2nd of April 2018, we ceased broadcasting in January 2019 to to enable changes to our format and a new technical platform to be installed. After a staged return through March to May, we completely changed format in June 2019, and we are currently broadcasting 7 a.m. to midnight, and we will continue to do so. Our range of programmes will aim to entertain and inform, with local and national contributors providing a diverse mix of music. We ensure that there's something of interest to everyone. But to do this, we need to comply with national and international licensing regulations, plus we need new server equipment, which unfortunately all costs money. So they've launched a crowdfunder. So if you'd like to put a few pounds towards keeping Sound of Spitfire on air, if you go to www.gofundme.com/Sound of Spitfire Internet Radio Service, you can do that, and you can follow them on the Twitter at Sound of Spitfire. But we've reached the end of another show. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back with another packed lineup of guests next Tuesday. Stay safe, everybody. We'll see you soon. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.